If you recall from the Lord's message out of John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30 from last week, it is the responsibility of every believer in Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One. Again, Messiah means the Anointed One in Hebrew, and Christ means the Anointed One in Greek, to bring people to Christ. Emphasized repeatedly throughout the Gospel of John, once people recognized who Jesus was as the Anointed One sent from the Father, they began to realize that God is a spirit. Remember the Samaritan woman's question to Jesus? Should he be worshipped only in Jerusalem, or can we do it in our temple that was built here in the northern kingdom of Israel? And Jesus was telling her that God as a spirit is everywhere at the same time and is not limited to time and space. If you'll open up your Bibles, I'd like you to go ahead and let's go back into the book of John and let's take a look at John chapter 4. Real quickly, I just want to skim through verses 1 through 30. I'm not going to preach on that part because God has an amazing message for us out of the rest of our text for today, and I want to get to it. But if you'll recall, back in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30, you recall that Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was baptizing. Keep in mind, what was happening was some of the disciples were really getting exhausted. And I believe that Jesus left from Judah to go to Galilee in order to take the pressure off of the disciples like Peter, who were getting exhausted in fighting these battles with the Pharisees and also fighting it with John the Baptist's disciples. He was mindful of the health of his disciples. And so he left Judah and he went to Galilee. And as we all know, he went through Samaria. Now, keep in mind, I want you to hear this. He went, direct line was through Samaria, which we talked about last week, that faithful religious Jews would never, ever go through Samaria. These half-breeds, these ones that only can use the bathroom 45 minutes away from the rest of the Jews. How'd you like that analogy? I like that. I like that crossover. But that's how they felt. They felt the same way I felt, and if you were my age or older, the same way you felt. And I am thankful to the Lord that a lot of our younger folks were not involved with that before the civil rights movement. But I could tell you right now, it's still going on today. And that's a part of the justice God asks us to step out for. I pray for our church and our church members that we stand for justice and speak out when there's injustice. So in verse 5, he came to a city in Samaria, and he came to this well, Jacob's well, and he meets this Samaritan woman there around noontime. Now the disciples, they had gone into the town in order to get food. And then if you recall, Jesus says in verse 7, give me a drink. And in verse 9, the Samaritan says to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink when I'm a Samaritan woman? And we talked about the fact that let's not get bogged down on the characteristics of the Samaritan woman when she met Jesus. Because I could tell you right now, our focus should be on the fact is, how did Jesus respond to her? And then, how did Jesus make a difference in that woman's life at the end of their time together? Because I don't care what your sins were prior to coming to know Jesus, I can tell you right now, Jesus is in the business today of transforming lives. Satan wants you to be defeated and sit and do nothing because you have to sit and be chained to your sins. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he is in the business of transforming your life to be like him. He never gives up on you. Don't give up on Him. And Jesus responds, give me drink. You would ask, He would say, give me your living water. And she says in verse 11, sir, you have nothing to draw from. Where do you get this living water? Jesus answered in verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks from me will spring up eternal life. And the woman said, sir, give me this water so that I am not thirsty, not come all this way to draw. Well, how many times do we have to see in a lot of these stories in the New Testament where everybody seems to misunderstand? Jesus was talking about this living water, and the Samaritan woman misunderstood, thinking it was physical water. Thought maybe He had this special, you know, keep in mind the water in the well came from an underground pool. She thought maybe He had some type of, because living water in those days meant a moving stream. So she thought it was physical water. But she misunderstood. Then you get into this relationship where they talk about the husband and the five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. I perceive you to be a prophet. And then you look at verse 21. Here is a very, very good point. I want you to hear this. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming. That's very important here. An hour is coming. Then you flip over there to verse 23 again. But an hour is coming, and then what does it say? And now is. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one that is called Christ. And He will declare all things to us. And God, oh, praise God, Jesus reveals Himself for the first time in the gospel, I am. Now, in January, I am going to be preaching a series that will go about 2 months called I Am. I am very, very excited about this. So I'm giving you a sneak preview that for the first couple of months in January, the series is called I Am. Starting November 29th through the end of December, we are in our season of Advent. I hope everybody reads your newsletter when it comes out, because I spent way too much time writing my message, so I hope that you will read it. But in there, it has a website where you can, for yourself and your family, you can be able to have a daily devotion with you and your family each day during this season of Advent. So I'll be preaching on 5 weeks, ending on Christmas Eve, the fifth sermon relating to Advent. And I'm so thankful to Jane and all of her committee and decorating. I don't want anybody to forget to stay afterwards to help decorate whatever she says. I guess you get paid off in pizza, so you are compensated. But we have a lot going on. So, then you see in verse 28, so the woman left the pot and went into the city and said to the men, come and see. This is to the men in the village. Come and see the man who told me everything that I had done. More than likely what she had done having to do with her relationships. But she's still asking, this is not the Christ, is it? And they went to the city, out of the city, and were coming to Him. Now we get to our passage today. Jesus continues to use metaphors. And I'm so glad that I have Susan here to help me make sure that my definitions are correct. Because if you look at this passage here in verse 31 to 42, we're talking here, Jesus is using these metaphors in the form of parables, which are a succinct didactic story which illustrates one or more instructive lessons or principles. It is not an allegory. I want you to see that we are not talking about that the one who sows is God the Father and the one who reaps is Jesus. This is a parable that you need to take on this. An allegory is actually a figure of speech. But this is an instruction for First Baptist Church of Piedmont. To convey the mission he was sent to complete. And what was that mission that Jesus was sent to complete? And that was to do the will and the work of God. So please follow along with me as I read the passage. I want you to include in these verses 31 to 42, I want you to include verse 27. So I'm going to read that too, to see this interaction Jesus had with his disciples. Last week we talked about how to share your faith in type of an evangelism out of this passage with the Samaritan woman. This one, predominantly the interaction with the disciples, is why. Why we are to go and share our faith. And let's see why Jesus instilled faith unto salvation in a woman and in a city. Follow along with me. Verse 27. Just then his disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you did not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one had brought him something to eat." And Jesus said to them, "My food," here it is, "my mission, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work." Now watch this. Do you not say, watch this parable. You ready? Here it is. Here it comes. This is the parable of the harvest right here. 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. You see, Jesus was telling his disciples, and Jesus is telling you and me today, that the waiting, the 4 months between planting and harvesting, is over. The field that Jesus had his eye on, that our church needs to have its eye on, his was this town in Samaria. Ours is the town, it's right as you drive, right here on the road, the town of Piedmont. It is ready for harvest. Now the reaper is already receiving wages. And what is wages? Real quickly, the wages are the joy of working for him and seeing the harvest of believers coming in. That's the wages. And is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here, the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. There's another parable right there. Sow and reap. I sent you to reap. Jesus is saying right now, right here, the message for you and I today is, I am sending you, First Baptist Church of Piedmont, to reap. For which you did not labor others. Who are the others? These are the faithful servants who've gone before us that have prepared the soil for the spreading of the gospel of peace. Have labored. We are coming up at the end of December. I had everybody diligently looking in their directory and history of First Baptist Church of Piedmont. Our 142nd anniversary of our church is on December 28th. There has been people in this church who for 141 plus years have been faithfully going on before us. We have a responsibility to the Lord and to those before us who have been faithful in sowing. Verse 39, many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I had ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, to stay with them for 2 days. Wow. Most Jews wouldn't even go near this village. Jesus stayed with them for 2 days. And do you know why? It's because He wanted to establish a relationship with them. One of the ways that we can be able to reach out to the people in Piedmont is by having a desire to have a relationship with them. Taking the time and the ministry of presence with them. And many more believe because of His word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." You see, the Samaritan woman's testimony and her growing faith that led to Jesus is now replaced by one's own experience of Jesus. Salvation, again, out of verse 22, may have come from the Jews, but listen, it is not limited to the Jews. The Messiah may be coming from the Jews, but salvation is not limited to the Jews. Now we find, as we read through verse 31 to 34, Jesus is using the metaphor that has to do with food. But we've already seen earlier in this chapter where He used the metaphor living water. The hour. And now we're going to talk about the fact that He uses the metaphor having to do with food. And then harvest. And then sow and reap. So in verse 31 to 34, Jesus has this conversation that she had had earlier in verses 8 to 15 with the Samaritan woman. And what was that one about? That one was about water, living water, something to drink. But when the disciples come, the topic emphasized was what? Food. Verses 31 to 38. Again, just like the woman, the disciples are sitting there saying, surely somebody must have brought Him something. I didn't know if that was the name of the woman that supposedly brought to Him, her name being Shirley. But, you know, the bottom line is, come on now, help me out a little bit. It was stuck in my head. I had to get it out of myself. But there was, again, misunderstanding. Living water. Physical water. Food. Physical food. Jesus was trying to say these in metaphors. Jesus was saying that obeying God is food for Him. He made reference. Remember back in Deuteronomy, Moses was talking to the people of Israel about Yahweh, Jehovah. And in Deuteronomy 8, He says, "Hey, you Israelites, God humbled you by letting you hunger, and then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor any ancestors had ever acquired, in order that you may understand." In French, écoutez, listen. "That one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Doing God's will, Jesus is saying to you and I today, doing God's will must be our spiritual nourishment. You see, let me make this really, really clear. It is more, the Christian life for you and me is more than just taking in Bible study or prayer or attending church. It also is by what we give out for God. You know, you talk about the Dead Sea. You know, it has this channel of water that comes into it, but nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It is so high in minerals and those kind of things, salt, that nothing can live. And the reason why is because it has no outlet for it to flow. And same thing in the Christian life. If you are only attending Bible study, doing prayer, attending church, all the things that you take in, you will eventually spiritually be like the Dead Sea. You will stink and smell and nothing will grow. It's what we give out is what makes the cycle of spiritual nourishment allows us to grow. Now you see in verse 35, where he uses the metaphor of harvest. And that takes us over to Matthew 9, where Jesus talks about the harvest and the laborers are few. Then Jesus went about all the cities. This is out of Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds and he had compassion. Do you have compassion? Or do you just have pity? Do you have empathy or apathy? Because they were harassing and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and Jesus is saying to you and me as his disciples, he's saying this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And then they followed the mission response, which is our mission response in verse 10, verse 5 of chapter 10 in Matthew. These 12 Jesus sent out. Jesus is sending us out today. And then we go to verse 36 to verse 38, where he talks about the metaphor of the sowing and the reaping. Many of us are familiar with Matthew 13, 3 through 23, about the parable of the sower. Remember? The seed is the word of God. In the parable of the sower, the sower goes out and he sows the seed, and one of them falls on the road. And we know that that's the seed that the birds came, or Satan in the world, came and took away and devoured. That is not a Christian. Then you have the seed that fell upon between the rocks and small places, and it grew quickly, but it had no root. There's a joy, immediate joy, but then when the sun and persecution and everything comes, they dry up and wither away. Then you had the seed that fell upon the thorny places, and they got caught up in the things of the world and the riches and the worries and concerns of the world, and the word, it was choked out of them. And they were unfruitful. My prayer for you and you and you and you and you is that you are the fertile soil. You're the fourth soil. And that the word of God today that's being preached to you today from God, not from me, from God, that you will realize that in order for you to be a fertile soil, you need to be bearing fruit. You need to go out and you need to be reaping. And we talked about, he's using this analogy here. It's not just in John that he's talking about this. We need to keep in mind that he also talked, it references it in Isaiah and it references it in Joel and also in the other Gospels. In Mark and in Luke and in John. I want to give you an example. I have just a few more minutes here, but I want to make a couple of analogies here so that you understand this. I came and went and talked to Debbie Atkins this morning, and I was asking her about her strawberries. Now, I really wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't want everybody to know that she has strawberries, because I want to make sure that I get enough strawberries. But I asked her about her farms, about the need for harvesting those strawberries, and they're much smarter than I am. But when it comes time and they're ripe, it's just not one person to go picking. It involves her husband, involves her kids. When the harvest is ripe for harvest, you got to pick those strawberries. We are called to be helpers and to reapers. When Sherry and I were moved from Northern Arizona University, and I went to law school in downtown L.A., and then I started my law practice. We bought a small little house. It was about less than 1,000 square feet taped. It was a beautiful little house in Bellflower, California. And in the backyard, it had rhubarb, and it had strawberry patch, which our Labrador decided she liked it too, and so she ate all that up. But it had a plum tree right in the middle of the yard. Now, one day, there was a knock at the door. And I went to the door, and the guy said, I don't know who he was. He says, I'm here to pick some plums from your tree. And I go, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Who are you and what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, every year, the previous owner would have me and my family and people from the community come and pick plums from your tree. Now, Sherry and I just bought the place. It was our first house we bought. We had never seen the season of the plum tree, but we had five kids. They'll eat the plums. I said, I'm sorry, our kids will go ahead and do that and eat the plums. A week later, this plum tree produced so many plums all at the same time that we could not pick them fast enough. Just in one sitting, big grocery bags, we probably picked somewhere around 30, 40, 50 bags of plums, and we were only a third through the tree. I could not beg people enough to come and pick these plums because the tree was ripe for harvest. Jesus is saying, Piedmont is ripe for harvest, that I need reapers to come, and that's the reason why we need to go and share our faith. You and I are sowers and reapers. We are planting of the seed, the Word of God, and we are reapers. Jesus' message led many to believe that He is truly the Savior of the world. If you noticed, throughout this passage from John 4, 1 to 42, that race, gender, religion, moral issues were no longer an issue when it came down to finally understanding, we're talking about sharing the good news. The crop that was harvested in this passage were the Samaritan believers. And you know what? Jesus knew that before He left Judah. In the end, the disciples, the woman, and the villagers, they understood the hour has truly come. And Jesus is the Messiah. He now commands us to tell His story. I have two more minutes left. I want to run through something with you because I want to give you a practical application here. The Lord's message for you and for me today and every day is to go and share your faith. Our deacons are stepping out in obedience by sharing their faith through the Deacon Family Plan ministry. Our men on mission are stepping out in this community by assisting PERC, our Piedmont Emergency Relief Center, and Harvest of Hope in serving the poor and the homeless. Our women on mission are stepping out in faith and providing weekend meals to over 33 children at Cleveland's elementary school who would not otherwise have anything to eat when the school is not open. Our choir is stepping out in faith by leading the community worship service that we're going to have on November 29th at 6 p.m. We want everybody here, bring a family, bring a friend, and then going over to PERC to serve at the Piedmont Christmas tree lighting. And I thank Melissa and our hospitality group for willing to do that. Our children are stepping out in faith by putting together a First Baptist Church of Piedmont Christmas tree to display in the Festival of Trees in December. Our youth are stepping out in faith and putting together a float for the December 5th Piedmont Christmas parade, which I want to tell you starts at 2 o'clock, not 6. Many in our church who love to sing carols are stepping out in faith to go Christmas caroling. We have our Christmas caroling, but also performing on December 12th as angels as part of the community's progressive living nativity here from 6 to 8. Go with George O'Brien and the outreach team with a roll of quarters, a 4 spiritual law booklet, and your Bible. Go to a local laundromat and pay for someone's washer or dryer costs. They'll have at least 30 minutes to sit there with you and talk with you about what Jesus has to offer. You can even invite them to church. I can go on and on about what other committees and individuals are doing here in our church that go and share their faith. But the question right now is, what about you? Will you respond in faith? Will you model the example of Jesus and be obedient to His commands to go? Now, just like you, the Samaritan woman could have had excuses and not tell anyone about her encounter with Jesus. But she did not, even though she was far from an ideal candidate to be an evangelist. What she did is that she stuck to what she knew about her personal experience. As she told her story, she lifted up Jesus. And watch this. Consequently, her marginalized status was transformed because of her deep commitment as a disciple of Christ. Please do not make any excuses and leave here today without responding. The work of the Lord is not a spectator sport. We are not to sit in our pews and just watch. We are called to go down to the field, suit up with the armor of God, and be a sower of the word and a reaper of lost souls. Are you now willing to submit and to do the will and the work of God? Guess what? To do the will and the work of God, that's your identity. To do His will is your mission. Our job is to go to others and say, come and see. Come and see. You could sign up to take action in any of these number of activities, including help in the decoration afterwards. That will surely change lives. God promises to do so if we are faithful to Him and just go. Why don't we have the... why don't you come for us, please? And as they're coming, and we're going to sing the responsive hymn, number 410, Standing on the Promises. As you stand right now, I want to read, if I can, come on up, Lori. I want to read out of 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. Everyone can stand. But listen to what God's Word says to you right now. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies. Why do we respond? Why do we do this? Why do we say, yes, here I am, Lord, send me, so that God may be glorified in all things through Christ Jesus? To Him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. You come as the Lord leads you to make any decisions that the Lord has led you to come and say, here, Lord, here am I, send me. I am willing to go. I have the same mission as you.